I've given that that bit several times. There's a more or less formal Luatech team, that is Taco, Hartmut and me. The starting point for Luatech has been, I would say now, PDFTech. So in a sense, Luatech is a successor to PDFTech. This will mean that in the sometime in the future, we are now more or less trying to freeze PDFTech, especially the features of it. There will be basically two engines, Luatech and Xitech. when we use that, we got for free some of the goodies that were present in ETech, and I think by now everybody is using macro packages that are ETech aware. There was a new kit added. It was Lua subsystem, and it originally started as a direct Lua, as Jonathan mentioned already. Oh, there was a catalyst in the project. It's Idris Oriental Tech Project, which provided funding so that Taco could work in company time on the code base. There's an odd kit. Two, there's some ALE functionality, which was needed by Idris in order to do his Arab typesetting. There's also a challenge. On the long term, most of the Tech bits and pieces will be rewritten in C. And eventually, we can even think of Lua being the glue language or gluing together all these tech components. But that's something for 2012 or something like that. The current state, we are now in the second beta test cycle. We just have basically big beta jumps with lots of functionality added. This is the second beta test cycle, and the third beta will probably be sometime at the end of the year when we have opened up Mars. What I will give in this 45 minutes is just a quick overview. I won't give many details. There are several documents out there that give more details about how the project evolved. I don't know why I get three at one time. The most prominent extension has been that I went two pages. Okay. Most prominent extension has been, of course, apart from going Unicode, is that the complete font loading has been brought under Lua control. It means that instead of actually extending the tech internals, we just take the existing stuff, open it up, provide the users an interface so that on top of that people can write additional stuff. So the first thing we did was loading TFM files. You can still load traditional TFM files, it's not a problem, but if you want to do more, you can load it, you get a table and you can do things with it and then pass it on back to tech. OpenType is in a sense not supported, so that's why Jonathan is right if he says that Xitech works out of the box. For Luatech, you need to implement support for certain things. We only provide the basics. That's has a pretty good reason. By doing that, we prevent the usual endless discussions in the tech community that in many cases, if we look at past attempts to extend the engine, has led to nothing. So this is if you talk about an extendable tech, yeah, you have to provide the means to extend and not so much the solutions of the extension. That's the approach of Luatech versus the approach of Xitech, which provides as Jonathan mentioned, a ready solution. So we can serve both type of users. And loading of fonts can be brought completely under Lua control. The internals have been rewritten already to some extent. It means that when you have traditional tech, there is some messy sharing of font data. That is well, we would call it messy now. In the time that you wrote it, it made sense because you didn't have much memory, so the more you share, the better. But it has for more advanced font users some disadvantages, because things that you do here to a font can have side effects there to a font. And a good example of that is, for instance, HSET. If you do HSET, all the settings that you do are basically done on all the implicit copies of the font. Well, that kind of stuff can be completely removed. The font memory management, etc., has been completely rewritten. And that means that you can have a couple of features that are present in PDF there, but never really could be supported comfortably, can now suddenly be done in the right way. There were some experimental features in PDF tech, like inter-character spacing, special kerning before and after characters, all that kind of stuff has been removed. We don't feel too guilty about it, because Hunter Tan himself said it's experimental, far from perfect, and well, maybe it shouldn't be there. Another thing, important thing related to fonts, etc., is that we basically have access to all internal data structures of Tech, and as such, the nodes that carry the information about characters that become glyphs taken from certain fonts can be accessed, and some of the information stored in the glyph nodes is extended. Another important extension related to fonts is that there is PDF output for direct PDF output for wide fonts. So that means for open type fonts, etc., but also for type 1 fonts that have more than 256 characters that you want to use in your file. So that's possible. The virtual font mechanism. Virtual fonts are, I think, really nice feature of Tech, but were in many cases not that useful, because, well, you had to make the virtual fonts outside Tech. So it was still not a really flexible mechanism. Now you can build them in Tech itself. What you see on the screen here is a virtual font. So these are actually all small MetaPost graphics. And the font has 10 different instances for each glyph, which are randomized by processing node list. So this is an example of what you can do with this kind of technology. How this works is a topic for a next conference. Okay, in another area, tokenization and node list. I'd probably be found guilty for using these two terms, isn't it? Because node list and tokens, that's all, well, that's dirty language. There are callbacks for various internal functions. You must imagine at some point a character is read from the input file and Tech is going to tokenize it. That's the official speak for it. And eventually Tech is going to do something with it, and it turns into a list of, well, characters, kerns, whatever. And all these stages we can hook in code. Most, and probably soon, all memory management has been rewritten. So it's now completely dynamic memory management. The input, so anything from files or whatever, can be intercepted. If you do that kind of trickery, it really depends on how what your view is on the way that Tech should process documents. So the way that I do it in context could be completely different from the way somebody else would want to do it in his or her macro package. This means that, for instance, the thing that Jonathan mentioned, the normalization of the input is actually one of the first things that I wrote, because it were the first pieces that were ready, just by, because all reading from files is under Lua control. So this is typically an example where Lua is doing this kind of normalization, or Lua code is doing it. Tokenization can be intercepted. This is a little bit close to what Omega's OTPs do, I think. At that stage that you try to intercept stuff. OTPs from Omega are still there, because either is needed them, but they will probably be kicked out at some point. The question is, again, this is a fundamental decision if you're writing a macro packet. Do you want to intercept that process, or do you want to do things later? I've decided not to do it at tokenization. It's slow, it's messy, and it's not the right place to do things. But the mechanisms are there. At various stages, the node list can be intercepted. Node list, you must imagine at some point, Tech has this big one, basically big one line, and it's going to break it into smaller pieces. And at each stage, you can intercept the intermediate result and do things with that. Nodes can carry attributes, we will mention that later. So, well, the most well-known attribute is font. Yeah? And there can be many more attributes, arbitrary attribute basically. It's up to the user what he puts in there. And actually the only way that you can support that kind of stuff is by means of processing the node list afterwards, because there are no ways in Tech to access the node list itself. Well, that's what I just said. The paragraph and page building. Paragraph building has been rewritten. Not so much that it does something different, but it's rewritten in C and now has clear separated stages. This means that hyphenation, kerning, and ligature building, which in traditional Tech are rather interwoven, are completely separated now. And you can basically replace them. You can replace all these pieces. So, for instance, context, I think hyphenation, we still use the hyphenation engine, but kerning and ligature building, depending on the mode that you run the system in, are either done, handled by Lua, by manipulating node lists and using information from the open type, or you can use the traditional mechanisms. Just to give an example, in open type there can be many different ways of many different tables with ligature and ligature. There are many features related to ligatures. Well, Tech can only handle one. The traditional Tech, so to say. And we keep that old stuff there because this permits us to have an upgrade pass. So basically, if LuaTech replaces PDFTech, it will behave as PDFTech. It will just do the same thing. We don't kick out anything. Hyphenation patterns and exceptions can be loaded at runtime. The internal data structures are completely rewritten. It also means that some of the limitations have been removed that are related to hyphenation. There are a couple of helper functions for manipulating node lists if you don't want to write all the code yourself. What's true for paragraph is also true for page building. Every time that something is added to the page, you can intercept it and do something with it. There's more topic for a next conference to tell a bit about what you can do with that kind of stuff. Next on the agenda is opening up MAS and alignments. MAS is somewhat complicated because internally, in display mode, Tech basically builds several representations of the same formula and then is going to make the decisions. And it needs some thinking of how to open that up. And of course, we need to have that kind of stuff also for Tech Gaia MAS. Later in the project, we will look into the output routine and its related mechanisms like inserts and things like that. It's a bit of a messy area here, so we leave that for the end, 2009 somewhere. Recently, the graphic capabilities were extended. This is something that Hartmut is mostly doing. There is now a library for image handling, so you can do all the lookups and also some kind of manipulation at the Lua level. At the same time, also the whole memory management related to images has been improved, so that much more is shared and there are less limitations, things like that. At some point, I think everything related to object management, annotations, whatever PDF specific thingies will be moved out of the kernel into a special library that deals with that kind of stuff. There is a somewhat alpha version of the MetaPulse library included. I will tell more about that later. And which has, for instance, nice features like that you can have multiple instances of the same. This is again something that Xetech may consider to either or not include. Yeah. as I see it, I think to some extent it could be a feasible option. On the other hand, as soon as you start interfering with text and metapos, it again becomes messy. And that's not really going to be solved at the Lua end either. Probably it will take 1 or 2 years before that kind of stuff is so stable that you can say, okay, now we have a clear picture of how this can be done in basically any engine. It's an independent project. We are working on the virtual font mechanism so that we can do runtime font generation. This is one of the things that has occasionally come up, and with Idris Arab typesetting project again it comes up, that you can basically generate some of the connecting glyphs. If you have a font that somehow defines this, you can imagine that you have a font where you have not some glyphs predefined and others are basically metapost, small metapost programs. And at runtime you can then basically build virtual fonts, but you and that's the stuff under construction. You need either to make type 3 fonts for including these snippets, or you can even think of just adding the right high strings to the open type instance in the font. You can basically build your font at runtime. This is also something that needs some work. Yeah. Later in the project, and now I'm talking about, I think, 2010 or 11 or something like that, this kind of mechanism will be there, and then I think maybe fonts will become even more, well, a complete virtual thing. The thing in the font, the thing that ends up in the PDF file, in this case PDF file, well, it just, as long as it carries all the data to render something, it's okay. Nobody is saying that this font should have lived on your disk or whatever. Okay, tech primitives and internals.
Can you speak up a little bit?
I have to speak in.
No.
Okay. Yeah, but you are sitting in the wrong.
I'm sitting with my ear here. Towards you, and we used to speak louder once.
Okay, we have named access. I'm going to. Okay, so I'm going to speak even. Okay. We have.
Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, but I don't know what the real penalty will be. Maybe it will be 20,000 for me.
Don't you? You're only a witness.
Listen, you are guilty. You are using tech. Yeah, that's the.
You're forced. You're forced.
I have the right, but I have the right for an attorney. Who is helping me?
You're only a witness. You're not a defendant.
Okay. we currently have access to the internal registers that Tech has. This is something that is be extended stepwise. For instance, if you know a bit about how Tech works, boxes are a kind of strange exception on the way how registers are allocated and things like that. They don't use counters or they don't use macro names, but they have hard defs and that kind of mess. We try to open up access to all these registers in a natural way so that you can use names to if you have a scratch box, it doesn't make sense to know the number of this box, but you want to access using the name scratch box, things like that. So that are slowly, we are getting that piece complete. There are quite some special registers in Tech, and these are also slowly being opened up. There are also some currently inaccessible quantities. I think Ulrich already mentioned some of this mass stuff, and I can imagine that in the future we just have access to these kind of things, because it's there. Yeah. One of the nasty parts about Tech is some of these things are sometimes shared and global and whatever, so it really needs to be sorted out. At some point we will probably reinvent box handling, as we say it. There is some, you know, this whole global and local box model. In Lua everything is accessible, and yet Lua doesn't have a concept of local and global. So how do you deal with that kind of stuff? In order to handle that properly, probably need to rewrite part of the internal box handling of Tech, all this saving and restoring stuff. Okay, that was the Lua part. Now we come to context anno 2008. For those who don't know, it's context Mark IV. And there's Mark II, Mark IV. Mark II is the traditional engine, and Mark IV is the LuaTech specific one. Okay, short history. So it's a branch of context tuned for LuaTech. It's mostly, I'm saying mostly, backward compatible. It's nearly impossible to make it completely backward compatible. I think in general you can say that if you use XiTech or LuaTech with context, well, it is simply the commands that you use are backward compatible. The output will never be backward compatible, of course. I think that one of the reasons why we have versions that actually can do some stuff is that because we were in our company working for real projects, real complex projects, which has of course a disadvantage that if somebody something changes, that something can completely broken, and then you have to work all evening to get it fixed because next morning your customer has to be able to access the server and run the files. But nevertheless, we just use it. It's the only way to get it done. All the support scripts that come with context are now done in Lua. So at least for context Mark IV, we are getting away from Perl and Ruby. And well, you've heard about the scripting capabilities from the distribution people, so I don't have to spend time on that. There are two new core utilities. So there's context, there's Lua tools, and there's MTX-run. Lua tools is kind of taking care of that you can generate a Lua format and that you can run or process basically a file. I will say more about that later. And that has to do with the fact that in context we no longer use the Capaci library. We have our own re-implementation of that, which has a couple of advantages. It's faster, it's more flexible, etc. The implications. Well, one of the first things we did was to bring reading from files and logging and all that kind of stuff under Lua control. So reading from files, it means that we have a complete layer between the file system and tech, but we can also add things like, or we already did that, reading from zip files, reading from sockets, reading from all kind of stuff. Another thing is that logging has been brought in Lua control. It means that, for instance, instead of the traditional logs, I can generate a log that is formatted in XML and therefore parsable and usable for other purposes. Or yet another thing is that if you turn on certain mechanisms, your error messages will show up in your browser instead of on your terminal. Input encodings, they have been simplified. Well, basically it means they have been removed, mostly. There is still support for different input encodings, but I wonder if anybody uses it now that UTF is more popular. Font encoding, I happily kicked it out. And it will not be brought in. And I think this is one of the things that we definitely agree on. Yeah,
so
that
funny.
Well, I can make a special version for you that but it is a matter of I can generate messages on the terminal saying that some encoding is used while actually it isn't. Even if you in context, even if you now use, let's say, traditional type 1 fonts, I no longer use the TFM files. I look for an AFM file and I on the fly construct a more or less Unicode font from it. So if there are, for instance, in the Latin modern, they have in the type 1 fonts many more glyphs. I just look at the names and I construct a big font from it. So the only thing I still use TFM for is Mars. And well, it takes some effort to convince people to drop even that, yeah, but we will finally do it. Character and Mars definition, there's one big table somewhere in the context distribution which has all the information about characters. Some of the information comes from the Unicode standard, but there's additional information like the names that we use for them in context, if it also has a mass entry point, what is the character class and how should it be treated, things like that. And we generate everything from this table. So quite some tech setup code has been moved to that mechanism. It's easier to maintain the thing in one place. Another thing that I did quite early is verbatim and buffering. It's completely done in Lua now, which has some advantages. But the main advantage is that we can completely re-implement pretty printing of computer languages and things like that. This is still on the agenda. I hope that users will do it, but so far they didn't. Hibernation patterns are loaded in runtime. And at the same time, in this whole mechanism of dealing with text at that level, we can also do things like spell checking and whatever in the tech documents. Say you want to color all the words that are not in a certain list red, you can do that kind of stuff. The interesting thing is non-intrusive. Yeah. Graphic file, I mentioned the image library. Graphic file identification conversion, runtime conversion with some additional things. And inclusion has now been done in Lua 2. This is one of the things that you say, okay, is it what? Why do you do it? Well, the reason here is definitely not speed. If you include 100 graphics in tech is fast enough in figuring out the things. You don't gain anything by doing that in Lua. But what you do gain is that if you try to locate a file and you have a bit more complex setup of where your files live, for instance, in the project, then everything that deals with files is more easy in Lua. You don't have problems with special characters and other kind of stuff that you need to escape or treat special or whatever. That's much more easier then. So this is typically an example of a comfortable way of implementing macros. Multipass data, probably later too, has auxiliary files with data, things like that. I think apart from section headers and list entries, everything is already now stored in Lua tables instead of in tech file. And soon I will re-implement sectioning and list handling, and then also that will move to a Lua file, which has some advantages too. Index.
Then it's not persistent anymore, so you have to do multi-pass runs.
It still is. I write a Lua table. I write it to a file.
Okay.
I still write it to a file. Now, a long-term objective is, but this is something we are just playing with, is that I can keep it in memory. Imagine that you have a run and you don't output anything to the PDF file. And at a certain point, you say, okay, I'm at the end of the document. Now I reset certain counters that I need to reset. I have this stuff in memory. Yeah, and now I'm doing my real run. And now I'm outputting stuff to the file. That's the same kind of thing we are thinking of. It won't save you basically the additional run. You still have this fake run. On the other hand, PDFs expense, I think, some 50% then on currently on writing files and things like that. So you lose font and other stuff. You do that at the end. The second thing is, in your second run, you already know certain things. Like you have located your images or you have found out some things. You can keep that information. So in a sense, maybe what now is two runs can be squeezed into 1.5 runs, something like that. But that's 2015. Metapost conversion. We've written Metapost conversion already a year ago, I think, using Lua, which was just more fun than doing it in tech, because in tech it's a bit messy due to some calculations that need to be done. And doing it in Lua was fun because it gave me an opportunity to learn LPEG, which is a parser system. But due to the library, I had to rewrite it again. And now more or less Metapost processing and context users who have seen this in action, that's the way context use Metapost, I can give it in a short demo later, can now instantly include Metapost graphics. It just doesn't take time. The first experiment that I did, I had a throughput of, I think, it was something around 10,000 graphics per second or something like that, 20,000 seconds per graphic, something like that. This was processing plus conversion, things like that. Of course, normally there's a bit more overhead, but you can do thousands of graphics per second if you want. And that I think that will have really big impact on context users. Because if they use things like backgrounds, yeah, backgrounds behind text or page ornaments or whatever kind of stuff, that used to be slow in the sense of that you had these meta post runs. You no longer have them anymore. It just happens. Another big implication, I think, is we are working on a new implementation of the of XML handling, which is a sort of mixture between stream processing and tree handling. It means that you can access the XML tree, you can filter elements from the XML tree using a sort of XPath derivative, and it's still somewhat experimental, but it's quite promising. It's fast, it's flexible, and normally XML processing, if you do it in Tech, you parse the XML from Tech, is somewhat slow, 1.5 times. Plus it has quite some overhead if you want to store stuff and carry it around, and now you don't longer need to do that. You can basically say, if you talk about multi-pass runs for XML, if you have your documents, you can just filter all the titles, generate your table of contents on the fly, which saves you a second run, things like that. As a first example of that, I'm re-implementing MarsML, so that probably qualifies for a presentation next year. Sectioning and list processing will be re-implemented and extended. I think quite some users will be happy with that. Cross-referencing in context cross-reference mechanism is kind of special because you can basically feed expressions to this mechanism, which makes it possible to have things like JavaScript and references to movies or chained annotations and things like that, all by one call. And I will probably replace that part by Lua code. I will also try to modularize context in the sense that it is already more or less modularized, but to separate some more components so that you can basically say if you have a workflow where you only need a few pieces, for instance in XML processing and the kind of styles that we have to implement, yeah, you know, Tech Macro Package always tries to do things, yeah, like it makes your headings, it keeps track of things that go to lists, it can generate your list. Now if you talk about the things that we have to do in practice, in most cases we don't use 90% of that kind of stuff because, well, designers don't think that way. Even the font system, if you talk about a design that we get to implement, there is no system in the design. So there is no system in using of fonts. There is no system in using colors. So all the systems that we have for nicely combining these things, forget about it. So it means that I have, just for my own convenience, to provide other mechanisms that are more low level, more basically more stupid, yeah, just in order to be able to mimic the desktop publishing applications. I already mentioned that one. Okay, so fonts in context. All font handling is done in Lua. It means that, for instance, open type features, there's nothing about open type features in the Lua Tech kernel. It's just implemented in Lua. For me, it's a great way to learn actually what open type is about. Because it's, I already mentioned in the previous talk, it's mostly trial and error what you do there due to the specification. So it's a good learning experience. I'm currently working on a bit more robust CJK support. It's one of the things that Chinese users are really pressing on. Interesting thing there is that as soon as you talk with people, there are a billion of them, yeah? So everyone who gives you specs gives you different specs. So this is still something I need to figure out. But it's high on the agenda. We provide more control over typesetting of special script like Arab. This is of course one of the things related to the Oriental Tech project, and this is again one of the reasons for using Lua for that, because editors want to do things that really go beyond what OpenType offers. Well, virtual fonts, I already mentioned that, but it will also be available to users. I'll mention that. Things like related to font expansion, HZ, and protruding and things like that. They are re-implemented, and I think they are more comfortable now. Basically, everything that is related to font is implemented as a kind of feature, yeah? More or less in the same sense as that you have open type features. I somehow don't want to bind myself too much to open type in that sense, because, well, who knows what we will have two or three years from now. Another important thing is attributes. I already mentioned attributes is something similar like fonts. You can you group things, and attributes obey to the rules of grouping. And quite some mechanisms have been re-implemented using attributes like color support or special PDF features. The embolding is an example of PDF feature that's typically supported in context using that kind of stuff. And this is really quite promising. For instance, attributes cannot only be bound to glyphs or whatever, they can also be bound to skips and to penalties and whatever. Every node can have an attribute. And this will permit me to implement more advanced spacing models. For instance, like the models we have in, that's the one good thing about XMLFO, like XMLFO offers. But this is, well, XMLFO. XSLFO, yeah. Yes.
Would it be an idea to make them just related Lua types? I mean, you need Lua type anyway to test them, and so it might be more flexible if you set A, then you buy the bullet, and you only get to work with them in Lua.
No, but you can set them at the tech level, because if you don't do that, you have quite some overhead in calling Lua to set a thing which is actually still at the tech end. Yeah, that would be a bit messy. We have thought about adding more data types to attributes. So now it's currently integer, but maybe there should be token list or other things associated to attributes. That's one of the things we are thinking of. But on the other hand, you can at the Lua and just use a hash which maps to anything, any data structure you want.
I mean, another idea would be we have things like new talks and new we have tech registers. Maybe it would be an idea to make a register data structure that can contain Lua data. So then you can download with Lua data without going through Lua.
There is something like that called bytecode registers. There are bytecode registers that can do that kind of stuff.
Okay.
No. Okay, I have to speed up because where am I? Yeah, so I rewrote quite some mechanism, current mechanisms using attributes. The interesting thing there is it's not so much faster or that it provides more feature, but it's more robust. It's way more robust to do some of the things at the Lua and using attributes. This means that, and I will show you just to give an impression, a run in a few minutes, so that you can see what happened. Because I time all the things. You can see how much time is spent on, for instance, doing this kind of stuff. Well, things like what you see here, this kind of randomization stuff. These are all built on top of a more or less generic mechanism, where you can manipulate characters, you can do things with it. And again, this is implemented using attributes. I already mentioned the vertical spacing models. The idea behind that is that it's always difficult to completely robustly implement a spacing model where a section heading will never end up at the bottom of a page. You can do that, but because you never know what follows, and the thing following it can basically force a page break. Yeah? There is no way currently in tech to really say to associate a weight to certain decisions, and this is one of the things that attribute can do. So that's one of the things I want to re-implement. There are already users on the contact list who start writing code, even if I say that the mechanisms that I provide are rather experimental. So, well, that kind of forces me probably pretty soon to come up with a kind of interface to all these things, so that users can hook in their own code without the danger of messing up the other system. Okay, just a few quick words on the two helper tools. There's Lua tools, because we don't use Capacity, we have to provide everything ourselves. So we have to generate a database with file data, there has to be lookup mechanisms, etc. This is what Lua tools does. At least as a standalone script, it does that kind of stuff. The rest is built into context itself. Well, we can be more tolerant with respect to TDS. That was one of the reasons. We can have alternative input methods like reading from zip. We need the script to bootstrap LuaTeX context running, because if you don't have Capacity, well, how does it find where it has to start? Yeah, so that's done by the script. And another script is MTXRun. MTXRun replaces TechMF start and is used to run all kinds of scripts in the tree. Nice advantage of that is that you are living in the same space as the tech runs. You have the same access to files, the same file database thingies, etc., etc. Well, there are a few examples of scripts. One is the one that Mats already mentioned. You can update your context tree, and there is a script for doing that. Another script is called context, that will actually now for the first time in the tech distribution, the command context, and it will run context for you. Another script, for instance, can investigate all the fonts in your system and show you what the names are that you can use in your tech document, because fonts, I already mentioned that in my first talk, have, well, rather messy, inconsistent, etc., etc. names. So we have quite some provisions for users to say, okay, I give a name and a context will try to figure out what fits. Yeah, there are some heuristics, so every font is in many cases available on more names by just leaving out pieces or completing pieces. If there's cond, cont in a name, you can expand that to condensed, yeah, things like that. That not yet, but I will do that kind of stuff too. Yeah. Other things deal with conversions. Okay, so what I want to do in the last minute is to just show a run. Oh, this is not. We have one document where we keep track of all the. Basically of the history. So it's now by some 250 pages. Not everything is in here, and we keep track of all the decisions we made and what happens a bit. So this is also a sort of torture test, because it uses Arab and Sapphino and three or four big Chinese fonts. Now, what you can see here, I keep track a bit about how much time is spent on certain tasks. So locating files and all that kind of stuff, and loading the file database, that is this one. Oh, and I had to use the cursor here. Fonts loading is quite large, because we have really big fonts. Those Chinese fonts and Arab fonts with many, many features are really huge. And, well, basically it's all Lua tables that we load, so it takes a bit of time. Processing all these features and other things takes 1.5 seconds. Just 1.5 seconds. Yep. I still have -2 minutes, I see. What you see here, and that's an interesting thing, MetaPost processing time is 0.5 seconds. Well, the number of graphics is somewhere here. Okay, that's for 65 graphics. And some of them are quite complex. And it includes loading, it includes conversion, etc., etc. That used to be many, many seconds. Yeah? Another example is the is a LuaTeX manual. LuaTeX manual actually doesn't run that fast, because it has lots of tables that are processed several times. The average throughput of a context LuaTeX run is some 10 pages per second. That's what we can get now, which is not that bad if you take into account what Lua has to do. So again, there's the MetaPost run. It's 0.2 seconds for 121 graphics. Yeah, and the reason why there are so many graphics is that on each page you have this little moon that, yeah, goes around. Now I have one more. Just an example of how fast it can be. Oh well, I can show this one in the at the Metapos lab talk.
Provides an argument that Luate is mainly a toy for cars.
Why?
The important thing is all those things you mentioned, XML support.
Yeah.
Cool. Open type support. Direct open type support and many other things. Are they usable for non-context user? Or this is going to be a part of context, which means they are not usable with just generic Lua.
Well, as Jonathan already mentioned, Xitech is providing the ready out-of-the-box solution for that kind of stuff. LuaTech is providing something that has been discussed for ages in the tech community, some extendable, whatever kind of thing. Now, if we implement solutions, we end up in discussions, endless discussions, about how to do things and how not to do things, and I don't want to end up in those discussions. So this is why LuaTech team decided to just provide the tool. Now, context users will in many cases not notice that this stuff is implemented in Lua. They will just see a system that does some job. Just as you don't see any Pascal code when you run tech. That's hidden for you. It's on my agenda to have a couple of libraries that I've written so far to make them generic in the sense that they can be used in plain. I've tried with it to just produce a version of plain tech using the Lua scripts that I made. It's not a problem, it just works. But on the other hand, how people are using plain, so is it worth the effort? And the other thing is, of course, people can say, okay, how about later? Well, that's not my problem. I have enough users to care for already.
Programming in Lua, that's interesting because many people, I tell them about LuaTech, start asking me about LaTeX. Of course, LaTeX supporting LuaTeX or other way around.
It's the other way around, yeah.
And of course, it's really much needed if you want it to be really used. But they don't. When I tell them, okay, for modern context, all that, no LaTeX. They take them at a hint that LuaTeX is worth nothing because they can't use it right now.
Yeah, okay, but then take ETech. How long has it taken for ETech to be used in LaTeX as a standard engine? Ages. I've been using that 5 years before that, when it was just out. So
it isn't a standard engine and it isn't used in LaTeX.
It's still not used? Well, so that's a good example then.
It's
still not
recommendation, and the core LaTeX is ETEX free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the same is true probably for Latin modern fonts. Yeah? Latin modern fonts, in context, we as soon as they came around, we switched to Latin modern, and the same is true for Terkaya fonts. Now again, you can ask, yeah, are you? Nobody is saying, oh, so these fonts aren't they used in plain or whatever? It's not up to the font team to provide support for plain. Plain users, you do it. Later people, you do it. The responsibility of the team of the LuaTech team is not to come up with support for all macro packages. Just as Jonathan is not writing font spec, other people are doing that. And if I look at the context list, there are quite some people just willing to use it and change to LuaTeX and no problem. But that's really, yeah, okay, I need it, I want it. Basically, that's a bit my two heads that I have, yeah? It looks like I'm LuaTeX context whatever, but Xitech is also supported for context. I have a context head and I have a LuaTeX head. That's basically two different heads. Yeah. Yeah. And so you can use LuaTeX in the same manner. It's compatible. You can, but okay, if you only have type 1 support, then it's up to somebody to provide something else. You see, it that has always been the case with support for new features. When PDFTech came around and provided something like 8Z, yeah? Well, it was just waiting till somebody in the inner circle of a macro package development was providing support for it. That was not Hunter Tan's responsibility. So.
Any more questions?
We have no time for questions, just your comments.
No, I think that in the course of prosecution, I should blame Hans for making tempting, addicting things that take people, normal people, away from their duties, especially me. That's it.
Well, that's really good. At least it does.